In the scripture reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon there, in the wisdom that he has, talks about the cycle of life. And he talks about really how that life does not wait for anyone. It just goes on and on. And we go through cycles of life. And there are things that come up. He says it's a time to kill, a time to heal. And then those things repeat themselves over and over again. Laughing and mourning, all of these opposites that are listed down there. And then the next day comes and you go through all it over all again. And so we have things coming and going, and time does not wait for anyone. And things are constantly changing. I want us to talk this evening about holding on to the eternal. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in just a moment we will read that passage of Scripture. We need to learn to hold on to the eternal. We need to get our eyes up off of the things of this life and focus on that which is everlasting. The devil tries to get us to focus on what is right before our eyes. But we need to focus on the spiritual. We need to focus on what is everlasting. And it's simply because material things don't last. They get old. They lose their value. Jesus said, lay not up treasures on the earth where moth and rust doth consume and where thieves break in and steal. And so we can't hold on to our physical things. They lose their value. They get old. They leave us. And so we need to learn to hold on to that which does not get old, that which does not lose its value. Even our physical lives themselves, James says that our life is like a vapor. James chapter 3 and verse 14. We're here one moment, we're gone the next. And we see in the news and just local news stories and national news stories of people who are gone and you wouldn't think it. And the young person driving in a car and bang, they're killed and they're gone and that type of thing. And so just the shooting this past week in Robertson County, the young boy accidentally shot with a gun and just boom, gone. And you don't know that it's going to happen. And life is like a vapor. And so we have to learn to hold on to that which is eternal, that which is not transitory, that which is not just simply temporal. Material things get old and lose their value. Our life is like a vapor and it's gone. And even our world, we've recently had a study of 2 Peter chapter 3, the earth and the works therein are going to be burnt up. It's going to be gone. And so we can't even put our hope and trust in this planet that we're on, even though some would like to teach that. It's just simply going to be gone. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. And so these things are of no lasting value, but there are things that are. And if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to find where the Apostle Paul had an attitude that we need to have in our life, and that is that we need to focus on the things that are eternal. And we're going to come back to this later in the lesson, but just simply look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, that is, just for a moment, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And he'd been talking about his persecution and his affliction, and we'll come back to that later in the lesson. But we look at those things which are eternal. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The Apostle Paul looked at those things which are eternal. And Abraham himself, he looked at those things which were everlasting. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they had went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly, Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Abraham was not looking back at his own homeland, verse 16. He was looking for that heavenly country. He didn't look at the Palestine where he was at. He didn't look at Mesopotamia where he came from. He kept his eyes focused on that heavenly country. If you go back to verse 10, he looked for a city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so we need to stay focused on the eternal. We need to focus on that which is everlasting, not that which is simply of this life. And that will help us in a couple of areas. It will help us with regard to trials and tribulations, to get through those. It will also help us with regard to immorality, temptations. It will help us not to engage in those kinds of things because we're focused on the eternal. And so this evening, I want us to consider holding on to the eternal. We're not going to put our trust and confidence and our priorities in just the temporal passing things of this life, but we're going to put our hope and confidence in that which is everlasting. I asked some questions at the beginning of this lesson. What do you possess that isn't going to perish? We're going to go home tonight to a majority of things that are just simply going to perish. We can't even take it with us. And yet that's what people put stock in. That's what their emphasis is in. And maybe we've already got plans this evening to go home and focus on some of that kind of material thing where we might even be neglecting our soul or what is important in life. But what do we possess that isn't going to perish? It's all going to perish one day. What do we have that cannot be taken away? It's all going to be taken away when we look at the things of this life. And so we need to learn to latch on to the everlasting, not those things that can be taken away from us. We need to learn to latch on to that which no one can take away from us even forever. And that's what our encouragement is going to be this evening. Paul said, I look not at the things which are seen, but I look at the things which are eternal. And Abraham looked for that heavenly country. We need to learn to hold on to the eternal. And it helps us get through the things of this life. When you look through the Word of God, you find some things that are eternal, that are everlasting. They're not just simply for the moment or temporary. And those are the things that we want to look at this evening. First of all, we need to hold on to the unchanging God and Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. We know that God is eternal. Yahweh or Jehovah means I am that I am. That's how God presented himself to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. It means the eternal one, that he's past, present, and future. And we know from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I am Jehovah, I change not. We need to understand that God does not change. And in James chapter 1 and verse 17, we learn that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, nor shadow that is cast by turning. A shadow moves throughout the day, just constantly moves. God's not like that. There's no variation with God. His character is such that He is what He is, and He does not change. And we need to hold on to that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus is the same, being deity himself. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. His word does not change. Look at the very next verse. That's why we need to stay away from false teaching. It changes all the time. People come and go. Ideas come and go. Errors come and go. And then they come back around again. Look at verse 9. Be not carried away by divers and strange teachings. It comes right after verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And the whole book is about trying to keep Christians faithful to Jesus and not go back to the old law. And then the very next verse. Do not be carried away by erroneous doctrine. Jesus is the same. You stay with Him. His Word is the same. And we need to understand that. There are times when we need to call upon God. He's always there. Christ is always there. In the same book, in Hebrews chapter 7, Jesus in verse 25 is our intercessor. And if you come back to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, we can draw near to God, to that throne of mercy, that we might have mercy and find grace to find in time of need. So He's always there with regard to coming to Him in prayer. He's always there to providentially watch over us. In chapter 1 and verse 3, speaking of Jesus, He is the very image of God's substance, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. God is not going anywhere. Jesus is not going anywhere. And their character and their conduct do not change. We don't find when we turn to God in Christ that one day they're against lying and the next day they're for it. One day they're against unrighteousness and the next day, you know, they're for it. And that type of thing, like man, constantly changing. Constantly changing their views on things. God is not like that. And so we need to come to Him. We need to turn to Him. He's unchanging. I am Jehovah. I change not. Now turn back with me, especially to Malachi chapter 3 in that passage that we had earlier. We read Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. But what came right before that? That's something that we need to appreciate. Right before that, we find in Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, He's going to come and judge His people for their ungodliness. And then He says, I change not. When God says something in His Word, He's going to hold us accountable. He's going to come and judge us. And so verse 2, He is like a refiner's fire, like a fuller's soap who wipes clean or washes clean. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver, and they shall offer unto Jehovah offerings in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Jehovah as in the days of old, as in the ancient years. And I will come near to you to judgment. I will be swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the sojourner from his right, and fear not me, saith Jehovah. I am Jehovah, I change not. And so it comes on the heels of an announcement of judgment against sin. And we need to understand that God does not change. And what's interesting about verse 5, read those things again. This is after the Babylonian captivity, and they still didn't learn their lesson. They're going right back to these things that some of them were doing before the Babylonian captivity. Malachi is right after the Babylonian captivity. God's people are bent on doing what they want to do, but God does not change. And so it's not a matter of, well, I hope I catch God on a good day, I hope I catch God on a good day. He's constant. He doesn't change. And so we need to bring our lives into conformity to Him. We can't be thinking in the judgment day, well, I hope I catch Him on a good day. There's some things I didn't get done in my life. There's some things I didn't do. There's some things I said I was going to do, and then I reneged on that and chose that I wasn't going to do those things. And now I stand before God in the judgment day, and I just hope I catch Him on a good day. He doesn't change. His character is such that what you read about Him in the Bible, that's the way He's going to be when we face Him in the judgment day. So we need to hold on to Him now and bring our lives into conformity to Him now, because that's the God that we'll face in the judgment day. Another way to look at it is consider what people hold on to religiously today. Religion's constantly changing. Rules constantly changing. Man-made doctrines constantly changing. We need to hold on to God and Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our next eternal thing that we need to hold on to. We need to hold on to the unshakable kingdom, which is the Lord's church. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2, when Daniel was prophesying of the coming of the kingdom, the Lord's church. There was something mentioned there that we need to be reminded of today, and that is the indestructible nature of the Lord's church. Once it was established on the day of Pentecost, it never went away. There's never been a time when there's not been God's people. There's always a remnant, and Elijah had to be reminded of that in 2 Kings 19, he had to be reminded. He's thinking, well, I'm just the only one left on the earth, and God has to remind him there are 7,000 others who have not bowed their knee to Baal. There's a remnant. There are always those who are faithful. And once the church was established, look at Daniel 2 and verse 44, and in the days of those kings, talking about the Roman Empire, shall the God of heaven in AD 33, Pentecost, Acts 2, that was during the Roman Empire, in the days of those kings, Rome, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, which shall never be destroyed. And the point is, this image that has been seen by Daniel and that Nebuchadnezzar sees in a dream and he wants Daniel to interpret it, there are four kingdoms in this image, and all of them go away. All of them pass away. All of them are for but a moment. And in contrast to that is the Lord's kingdom. So whether it's the Babylonian kingdom of the days right now, then the Medo-Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans, they all come and go. But there's going to come a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof, the rulership, the kingship, the law, shall be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It shall stand forever. When the Lord established His kingdom, His church, on the day of Pentecost, it stood and continues to stand even to this day and until the world ceases. Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. When Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, what was the very next thing he said? And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Hades is representative of the realm of the dead. Death is not going to keep the church from being established or even continuing. The death of Jesus did not keep the church from being established. And death, Hades, will not prevail against it. It doesn't even keep the church, it doesn't even assault the church in such a way that it goes away, because we find in the book of Acts that there's death. Stephen dies. Does that keep the church from growing? No. James dies. He's beheaded in Acts 12. Does that keep the church from growing? No. Hades will not prevail against it. And so it's a kingdom that is unshakable. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We need to be a part of the Lord's church, because that is which God established. He wants it to be forever. America may come and go. I'm sure our time is coming when you consider our downward spiral. And we'll just be one of many nations in the history of man that have come and go. They tend to last somewhere between, the big ones tend to last like 200 to 400 years, and then they're gone. And I'm sure we're going to be like that. But when we're a member of the church, it doesn't matter what culture we're in, or it doesn't matter if it comes or goes. We are a part of that which is everlasting. In Hebrews chapter 11, with regard to encouraging brethren, or chapter 12, excuse me, Hebrews 12, regarding encouraging brethren and what they have, they didn't come to the old Mount Sinai, to that Old Testament system. What have they come to? Verse 22, you have come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable host of angels, and to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than Abel. And then verse 28, wherefore receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. Physical kingdoms, historical kingdoms come and go. They usually topple through war and internal decadence and degradation. Rome, we're told in Revelation 17 and 18, was this immoral harlot, and immorality is described in those chapters, and it eventually just ate them from the inside out. That may happen to this nation, I don't know. But we're not a part of this nation only. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And it's a kingdom that is not going to go anywhere. There will always be God's people on the earth. There will always be a remnant. There will always be those who are faithful. Will we be a part of that? That's the question. We need to hold on to the unshakable kingdom and church of our Lord. There's some other things that are eternal in nature. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall not pass away. We need to hold on to the ever-abiding word of God. Man's word comes and goes. Man's word is for a season and then it's gone and people forget it. Philosophies come and go. Philosophers come and go. Ideas and ideologies come and go. But God's Word always stays the same. I find it interesting that the French skeptic Voltaire in the 1700s said that in my lifetime there will be no more Bible. In my lifetime there will be no Bible. And he said that in the late 1700s. Is there still a Bible? Sure there is. And the irony of that whole thing is that when he died, they took his home, the very home where he was living, and turned it into a place where they printed Bibles. I don't know if that was out of spite. I don't know exactly how that came about. I just know that that's a historical statement, and that his very home was used as a printing society or place for printing God's Word. He was wrong. God's Word will always stand. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. We put our trust and our hope in the Word of God. And we're seeing changes today. We're seeing errors and changes and people introducing all the time error and falsehood into even the Lord's church, into religion in general. But God's people who are faithful to God and His Word just simply stay with the Word of God. They're not interested in fads and changes and new doctrines and new concepts, even if it's called Church of Christ. They're not going to do that. They're simply going to follow the Word of God. Verse 23, having been begotten again, that's talking about being converted to Christ, becoming a Christian, we're born again through God's Word, obeying God's Word, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which liveth and abideth. For all flesh is as grass. Quotation from Isaiah 6 and verse 6. All flesh is as grass, and the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth. But the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached unto you. That's what we're born again with, and it's not going anywhere. That's what we need to preach. That's what we need to teach. That's what we need to pass on to our children. The problem with passing on error and falsehood is it does not last. It's man-made. It comes and goes. And so the indestructible Word of God. We've had lessons before about how we got our Bible and the providential hand of God that preserved manuscripts, ancient manuscripts for us. And the translation process is very careful. And so we know that we hold in our hands the Word of God today in English. But it will always be. And it's that Word of God, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. It's the Word of God that will last all the way to the judgment day. And that's the Word of God that is opened up. That's why we simply base our lives on the Word of God, because that's what's going to be opened up. Not the philosophies of men, not the scholarly journals and the scholarly books, but the books of God's Word. The books were opened and another book was opened. Revelation 12, verse 12. And those that were written in the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books. God's Word, not man's Word, but the ever-abiding Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus' Word will not pass away. Jesus said in John chapter 12 that the words that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so we need to understand the important things about the Word of God. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. It has to last all the way until the last day. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. What are we going to be judged by in the last day? Well, that which abides all the way to the last day. Paul says, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel by Jesus Christ. And so the gospel of Christ, the words of Christ lasting all the way until the judgment day. We need to put our faith and confidence in the ever-abiding Word of God. If it's not in the book, chapter, and verse, then we just simply need to ignore it. And we need to hold on to what the good book says. We need to hold on to the eternal. We need to hold on to the always abiding faith, hope, and love. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul is talking about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And one point that he makes is that there's going to come a time when spiritual gifts will pass away. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, tongues will cease, prophecies will be done away. Knowledge, it shall be done away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But that which is perfect, speaking of the complete revealed Word of God, that which is perfect, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So he's been talking about, verse 8, that spiritual gifts are going to be done away. But look at verse 13. There are things that outlast spiritual gifts. Faith, hope, and love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. He's been trying to tell them in chapter 13 that you need to exercise your spiritual gifts with love. One reason is that these spiritual gifts are going to pass away. Love is the all-important thing. And faith, hope, and love, that's what abides. There are things that are temporal, even in the Lord's church. Apostles weren't meant to be forever. We don't have apostles today. Spiritual gifts were not meant to be forever. We don't have those things today. But there are some things in our life that are meant to be every day, all the way to eternity, and that is faith, hope, and love. We have to have those in our lives each day as we serve Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Consider hope. Hope is an anchor of the soul. It keeps us going all the way to the end of time. We have an anchor of the soul, a hope, both sure and steadfast. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, when persecution and different trials and tribulations come along. What keeps us faithful to God? Well, our faith in God, our hope in God, loving God, and doing God's will. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not also with us freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather was raised again. Look at verse 35. Shall tribulation or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For this, thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Love keeps us going. Hope keeps us going. What is the victory that overcomes the world? 1 John 5:4. Faith. Faith is the victory, you see. What kept Job going? Turn with me to Job chapter 19. Job had a very severe life of suffering, more than maybe most of us even here this evening have ever suffered in our life. Terrible life of suffering. What kept him going? Turn with me to Job chapter 19. It was his grasp of the eternal. It was his grasp and understanding through the eye of faith of that which lies beyond this life. And yes, I've got boils, and yes, I've got problems, but there's something that lies beyond this life, and he believed in that and focused on that. And this is amazing in the Old Testament, and even in the patriarchal period where we're just beginning to get revelation from God about the afterlife. We have more information in the New Testament than Old Testament worthies had, and especially the patriarchal time like Job. But even in that time, there is a glimmer of light, of knowledge and truth of the afterlife. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin, even this body is destroyed, then without my flesh shall I see God, whom I, even I, shall see on my side, and mine eyes shall behold, and not as a stranger. And we sing in our psalm books, I know that my Redeemer liveth. The ever-abiding faith, hope, and love. That's what carries us through in difficult times. And physical things can be taken away from us, and our physical health can be taken away from us, and other kinds of things, but you can't take away our faith, hope, and love. And that's what needs to be the priority in our life. And turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 on the subject of our physical health. We're all getting older, and we recognize as we get older that things go, and we don't have the bodies that we once had when we were younger, and we recognize that the older that we get. And I think it's great to go to the doctor and take care of our body, but do we go to the great physician, Jesus, and take care of our soul? That's what's important. The outward man is decaying. Well, I've got to watch my diet. Great, but am I watching my spiritual diet? I've got to watch my health. Great, but do I watch my spiritual health? I've got to go to the doctor. Great, but do I go to the great physician? Look at the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is in the context of suffering. If you look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, we are pressed on every side. He's talking about himself and the other apostles. We are pressed on every side, but not straitened, perplexed, yet not under despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. He was physically persecuted, and he recognized that. So come down to verse 16. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying. Verse 8, 9, and 10. All of these physical problems that he's having to go through. Our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Saul's soul, Paul's soul, was ever growing and ever getting stronger. The inward man, that's what he focused on. He said this outward man is decaying. He describes himself in the book of Philemon as Paul the aged. He describes himself in Galatians chapter 4 as I was in the midst of you with physical weakness. And he had 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, he had a thorn in the flesh. And there were physical problems with him. But he didn't focus on that. He focused on the inward man. So look at verse 17. For our light affliction, and by the way, he calls verse 8, 9, and 10 a light affliction. Read those verses again. Calls it a light affliction. Shows you where his focus and priority and mature understanding is at, and we need to have the same, which is for the moment worketh for us more and more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. What has he been talking about? These physical problems that are going on. Verses 8, 9, and 10. My outward body decaying. I don't focus on that. We don't look at those things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporal. I'm sorry, the things which are seen are temporal. These persecutions, my body decaying, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now look at verse 5 of the next chapter. This would be a good place to ignore the chapter division. It's the same thought. For, he goes on to explain, for we know that if our earthly house of our tabernacle, that's our physical body, be dissolved. By the way, that's the same word used in 2 Peter 3 of the earth. Our physical body is going to be dissolved. There are people that have been in the grave so long, you're not going to find them. You're not even going to find their dust. You say, well, I could find their dust. No, there's been people in the grave so long, you can't even find their dust. The outward body is going to dissolve. That's the same word used by Peter that the earth and the works there are going to be burned up. It'll melt. It'll dissolve with fervent heat. It's going to be gone, brethren. And one day our body is going to be gone. It will be dissolved. It will be dissolved. We have a building. Now he's talking about the heavenly body that we're going to get. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the earth, right? No, eternal in the heavens. in the heavens. That's where our body is, and it's eternal in the heavens. It's not coming to the earth. It's not coming down to the earth. Heaven's not going to become earth. It's something away from here. It's an eternal body in the heavens. It's a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's that habitation in the next verse. It's that heavenly body that we will be clothed upon. And so that's what Paul focuses on. That's what he keeps his eyes on. So come down with me now to verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. He keeps his eyes on those things that are eternal. For we are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. There's things that are going to go on with this physical body. It's decaying, chapter 4, verse 16. It's going to be dissolved, chapter 5, verse 1. But one day we're going to be given a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and that's when I can go and be with the Lord. Verse 8. Wherefore also we make it our aim. Notice his focus. We hold on to the eternal. That's our focus. We make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto Him. And then here's the punchline. Look at verse 10. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the whole point. We're going to go one place, one time, to a place that's a judgment seat, and then either heaven or hell. And so that's what I'm going to hold on to. That's what I'm going to focus on. My aim is to be pleasing to God. I'm not going to focus on the physical things of this life. I'm going to hold on to that ever-renewed inward soul of man. And that's what we need to be focusing on. We don't need to talk so much about physical food as we do manna from heaven. We don't need to talk so much about the physical things of this life as the spiritual things of this life. Do we talk more about our outward man or our inward man? Look at Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 16, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That needs to be our focus. That ever-renewed inward soul of man. What does it profit if we gain the whole world and lose our soul? We need to hold on to what's on the inside of us and be concerned more about that than what's on the outside. And then turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and the lesson will be yours. We need to hold on to that never-fading reward of heaven. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. In putting this lesson together, I ran across a word that I was not familiar with, and you know how I enjoy words and word studies. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we've been begotten again into a living hope. You see, faith, hope, and love, that's what carries us through. 1 Peter 1, 3, we've been begotten again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven, not on earth, reserved in heaven for you. But look at the phrase, that fadeth not away. That's from the Greek word for the flower, the amaranth. The amaranth. There is a flower, and sometimes when you study this, there is a group of flowers called amaranth, which is simply flowers that even after they're cut, they really don't lose their color. There's a gold one, there's some that have different colors, but when you cut them, they stay basically the same color, amaranth. That's the word here, and it means does not fade away. And that's what we need to hold on to. That reward in heaven, that inheritance that does not fade away. We have things that fade. Have you ever tried to hold on to a blue ribbon that you got a long time ago? You know, maybe you won something. It's not blue anymore, is it? And medals and ribbons and different things, certificates and plaques and different things, after a while, they don't look like they did when you first got it, do they? We have things that are corruptible. Look at verse 3, corruptible. Do you have anything around the house that has any rust on it? You can probably find something that's got a little rust on it. Corruptible. There's things that fade, that are corruptible, unclean, defiled. This is the opposite of all that. But it does not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. Brethren, reserved in heaven. Reserved in heaven for you. If we believe what we're hearing today with this coming back to live on the restored earth, then what happens to our reservation? Have you ever gotten a reservation at Ruth's Chris? And you go down there and they say, you know, your reservation has been moved to McDonald's. That's what's happening if our reservation is in heaven and then one day, well, it gets moved to the earth. No, I have a reservation in heaven. That's where I want to go. You want to go where your reservation is. The reservation doesn't get moved to another place. Our reservation is in heaven, and that's where it's going to be. It doesn't get moved somewhere else. And so it is never fading. And where the reservation is, that's where we're going. And it's in heaven, not on earth. That's where the reservation is. Can you imagine showing up and they say, well, we moved the reservation over to McDonald's? You'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? We're going where the reservation is, and it's never fading. Turn with me to chapter 5 and verse 4. This amaranth is used again in chapter 5 in verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall be manifest, you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. You see, there were some flowers in the first century, this amaranth, and that's what the Holy Spirit by Peter used this concept. They would have known what that concept was when they heard that Greek word amaranth. They would have thought of that flower. It does not fade away. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 now. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Can you remember 1 Peter 1, 4 and 2 Peter 1, 4? 1 Peter 1, 4 and 2 Peter 1, 4. Whereby he hath granted unto us precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. We have precious and exceeding and great promises. What is it, Peter? It is that never fading reward in heaven. We need to hold on to the eternal. We have too much time and attention spent on the things of this life. And you can tell by what a person talks about, what his interests are, what his priorities are, where he's really focusing. You can tell that. And it needs to be on these eternal things that we've talked about. God, the unshakable kingdom of the Lord's church, the ever-abiding Word of God, faith, hope, and love, the inward soul of man, that never-fading reward in heaven. What are you holding on to this evening? What am I holding on to? Material things? Things of this life only, things that we can't even take with us anyway when we die. Paul said we brought nothing into this world and we can't take anything out. Are you holding on to those things? Or on to these things that will take us all the way to heaven? Do we have these things in our life? Do you have these six indestructible, eternal things? God and Christ, they're not going anywhere. The Lord's church will always be. It is a kingdom that will never be shaken, that will never pass away. The Bible, no matter what happens, there will always be this, all the way until the Lord comes again. Faith, hope, and love. A soul that is right with God, this inward man that is renewed day by day, and heaven itself. Do we have these things? If the answer is no, then we can have them this evening. We can come and obey the Lord. We can have these things in our life. Or if we need to come back in some way. But as a child of God, let's take a spiritual survey. Is this really what we're holding on to? Is this really what we're holding on to? And if we do, we will never be disappointed. Have you ever held on to something that disappointed you? Have you ever had something that after you had it, it really disappointed you? That'll never happen with these things. You'll never be disappointed with God or His Word. You'll never be disappointed with the Lord's church. You'll never be disappointed with heaven. You're not going to be thinking, oh, I wish I could go back and live on the earth. No, when we get to heaven, that you're not going to be wanting any other place. These things never disappoint. So these are the things that we need to hold on to. People disappoint us. Things disappoint us. Situations do. But these things never will. So these are the things that we need to hold on to in our life. And if we can encourage you to do those things, and if you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you obey the Lord, why won't you come as we stand and sing?